You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, National MP Catherine Wedd's members' bill for an under-16s social media ban was paused. Instead, Education Minister Erica Stanford has pledged to, before this year's election, bring a wider and more robust proposal for a ban in a larger bill. Last week also saw Prime Minister Christopher Luxon make comments about the National Party stance on immigration amidst criticised changes to compliance officer powers and previous spats and comments over immigration policy between government coalition partners. And with the budget expected next week, promises have begun to be made by the government for where funding can be expected, particularly within education. I spoke with National MP Ryan Hamilton about these topics, starting with the social media ban. Where does this leave us on kind of this ban and what we might see in it from the National Party?
Yeah, I think Erica spoke really well on Jack Tame on Sunday about it too, just in terms of giving any, you know, a sense of where it's at. So essentially, the government's very aware of the need to do something, and we've been taking our time to make sure that we provide something that's going to be measured. You know, we're looking at overseas examples, we're looking at what's working or what hasn't worked so well. So we're trying to come up with something that we believe will be more comprehensive and encompassing. So, hopefully we'll have more information to share soon.
Are we seeing a kind of shape start to form around this bill, at least, in terms of whether or not it's reflecting Wedd's bill or kind of building on the select committee process?
Yeah, I think so. I think there were key learnings. Obviously, they went through that. That certainly, nothing was wasted through that process. In fact, it would have given key insights. The House had a two-hour debate on, that actual inquiry last week. And I think there's broad consensus across the House, excluding the Greens, I understand, but, across from Labor as well. So hopefully we can get something that that will be enduring, and obviously the more support across the House, the better. But certainly from the government perspective, we're committed to, we've said that we will release something before the election.
Does the kind of support that the government is getting around this bill change the timeline at all? Is it likely to be sooner because different parties are supporting it? Or is it more of a, maybe we can put some more thought and some more time into this post-election?
I think it's been a combination of everything. You know, there was obviously the members' bill from Catherine Wedd. There was a motion or inquiry desire from that party. And then there was obviously the work that the minister was doing. And so it's just, I guess, trying to provide a cohesive framework which all of those positions can be reflected. And obviously that process, we don't want to rush because, you know, it's important that it has a meaningful impact on what are, you know, hugely significant international companies. So that process has been worked through. I don't think it's been slowed unduly. It's just to make sure we get it right, and we're expecting a first reading, hopefully for the next few months. There will definitely be a first reading paper before the election. The whole process will no doubt take longer and will flow into the next term, I imagine. That's not for me to confirm, but I think given the amount of feedback and the select committee process, we'd want to make sure it's pretty robust and enduring.
If this bill does go through before the election, could we see some more work from maybe a future national government looking at how social media impacts young people and other areas that we can potentially make changes?
Not for sure. I mean, this bill, the first reading will definitely go before the election. That's been a commitment made by the Prime Minister and Erica Stanford. But once it goes through the select committee process, obviously there can be insights gained, and you know the initial draft legislation can sometimes get tweaked. I mean, that's, I guess, the whole point of select committees, that stakeholders, the community, parents, teachers, schools, you know, can have a say and shape it and/or contribute to unintended consequences with the way it's currently drafted or not drafted. So, but I think also going forward, I mean, the world we're living in is. And of course there was Laura McClure's deep fake stuff which is going through the House at the moment. So it's such a dynamic space. You know, it might be that in another 5 years, I'm sure they'll have a built-in review period actually, so there'll be a period where they'll review it and compare it to, is it still fit for purpose, do we need some amendments? Because that, as you appreciate, that social media and technological landscape, particularly now AI, is moving so fast, it's always going to be a challenge for legislation to match it. So we've got to, you know, always be keeping an eye on how we reconcile, you know, ensuring the more vulnerable members of our community remain safe.
Moving on, the Prime Minister in his pre-budget address last week touched on the National Party wanting to have a careful approach to immigration. This comes after a proposed change that would allow compliance officers the powers to question suspected overstayers. With that change at least, or that proposed change, what does the government kind of hope to get out of changes like this?
Well, we've got to make sure, firstly, that our immigration policy is fit for purpose. And, you know, before we took office and sort of post-COVID, there was, you know, the floodgates were essentially opened and, you know, overwhelmed our system, and there was a complete lack of robust checks and balances. And, you know, that puts huge pressure on our schooling system. It puts pressure on our housing system. And so there's been a clear reset from the minister around getting the balance right in terms of attracting and making sure systems are in place that attract high-skilled, you know, people to the economy. And obviously that's been flushed out through the trade agreement as well. You know, ICT professionals, engineers, nurses, people that are going to add and contribute to New Zealand society and to the workforce. And so, yeah, it's just about getting that balance right and helping our economy to grow, but in a way that's, you know, everyone's got to contribute.
And what does the government say to concerns maybe about the way that some of these powers could be wielded, at least when we look at other countries that have had highly publicised kind of crackdowns on immigration like the US?
Oh, I mean, I think clearly with two completely different jurisdictions under, you know, two, you know, highly different political and leadership systems and with different pressure points. Ours is going to be, you know, much more measured and focused on ensuring that, you know, the right policy is in place. It's not a crackdown to, you know, cause undue harm, but we've got to have, if we can't have policies and then enforce those policies, you know, the policies become meaningless. So we've got to get that balance right of good policy, but, you know, enforcement and execution of those policies as well.
And so looking at that, the Prime Minister's obviously specified a careful approach kind of going forward to the politicised issue of immigration. Are there any kind of existing plans about what might be done farther than this in terms of what that careful approach actually means, what areas the government might look at?
Yeah, I think just to reiterate, I mean, we're looking at individuals where we've got shortages of skill sets. You know, we've said clearly that the changes we've made recently strengthen our immigration system to prioritise those skilled migrants through higher English language requirements, but more enforcement and tougher penalties. But equally, you know, there's been a few agencies in New Zealand that were exploiting, you know, some of the migrant opportunities. So it's also something that we're keeping an eye on as well.
And finally, looking forward, the budget is obviously on the horizon with these comments being made at the pre-budget address. What can we expect from the government with this budget in terms of the main focus points and changes that we might see?
I think you and I are both excited to wait and see. I think there's about 11 fleets to go, but obviously we've seen a few announcements around the education policy and promoting and supporting more resources through our primary school, you know, teachers and students with you know, the resources they need. Today, Nicola Willis will be giving a speech on perhaps refinements around the public service and reducing some of the government overheads in the public service space and looking for more efficiencies. But other than that, Thursday next week is going to be an exciting day. What, Zani?
9 or 10 more sleeps.
And I mean, just final question kind of on the budget. The economy is in a little bit of a volatile position looking towards, you know, international developments and events. But kind of going into this election year and releasing what could be the final national budget of this government, is the National Party confident in this budget as kind of really getting a grip on what should be happening in the New Zealand economy?
I have confidence that through Minister Nicola Willis and our Prime Minister that it will be a very good budget, if anything, by the last two are to go by. She's got a very tough, you know, position of balancing the needs, the growing needs of New Zealanders around health, education and infrastructure, but equally balancing, you know, our fiscal headroom in the debt burden that we've inherited. So it's always going to be a balance. But I think the messaging we've sent is very clear, is that we're going to provide something that, and as to the Prime Minister's comments, we need to build our buffers in the increasing world of, you know, volatility. New Zealand has to ensure that we're not going increasing debt, because those capital markets could change and New Zealand could be left very exposed. So I think we're going to see a very sensible budget that tries to address all of those things, and in the backdrop of a fuel crisis as well.
That was National MP Ryan Hamilton on the social media ban, national stance on immigration and the upcoming budget.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.